Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Red Light Podcast Redux. I am your host, Gina Savage. I want to welcome our WROM radio listeners and Detroit internet users worldwide, subscribers to the Red Light Podcast on iTunes, and also pick us up on Podomatic. I'm really happy to have our guest today because he and I met a few years ago, young comic, you know, trying to make his way in comedy. And the way you did that, well, first let me say, our guest today is Matt Richards. Hi, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, Matt. So, Matt, you can see on MTV's Joking Off, MTV2's Joking Off.
It was MTV2, and now we are main MTV.
Your main MTV.
Yeah.
Okay, so MTV's Matt Richards from Joking Off. Joking Off, you know how what I want to say. Okay, so from Joking Off, and you just did Gotham Comedy Live. Then when does that air? Do you know?
That aired live.
It aired live?
Yeah.
Oh, shit, Gotham Comedy Live. Hello, Gina.
Yeah,
welcome to... I'm not even awake.
It aired right then when they did it.
Right, okay. So, all right. This is how in touch with comedy I am, ladies and gentlemen. When did it air? Live?
Gotham Comedy next week.
Did it air live? All right, so maybe you guys caught that live. All right, well, you know, hey, listen, I'm trying to stay relevant. I'm like, you know, and this is certainly not the way, but anyway. How was that for
that
you?
That was amazing.
That's your first live gig.
Absolutely. It was my first live-ish gig. Cheech Marin hosted.
Yes.
Cheech is awesome.
Cheech and Chong Cheech.
That was like crazy.
And you had a little, like I saw on Matt Richards' Facebook page, I saw this little video clip of the two of you.
Yeah.
He's a Trump supporter, jokingly.
Yeah,
okay,
jokingly.
Sweet. That was a cute clip.
That was fun to sit with him.
Yeah, I imagine so, right? Like, I mean, you grow up knowing, like, hearing about these people and watching their stuff, and there you are. And he seems like a pretty down-to-earth.
He was super cool. The whole time we were doing the rehearsal, he was cracking jokes.
Yeah. I imagine that would be the case.
It was fun.
All right. So let me tell the folks how I met you. So here we are. It's Greenwich Village Comedy Club. I think it's probably about 4 years ago. I think it's around 4 years ago. Four years ago.
Sounds about right.
And you come in, and I'm sort of I've been in comedy a long time, but I'm the new manager there at that point in time. And you come in as a comic, but you're also an actor and a magician.
And a hypnotist.
And a hypnotist. I want to talk about that. Hypnotize me.
Hypnotize
me. What do you remember the trick that you showed me?
Do you
remember what it was?
I think I threw up a card.
You threw up a card? Yeah, it's one of those effed up card tricks where you're like, and I literally was like, get the fuck out of here.
Get the fuck out of my office.
Get out. It was so amazing. Like, you could not. I mean, it's. The thing is, here's the thing with comedy, David Blaine. No, I know. But here's the thing about comedy magic is like, if you can't see it, you can't see it. You don't know what's happening. It is kind of miraculous.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I can't explain. Because that would be against magician's code. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But I'm glad it amazed you.
It amazed me, and you were well. We were. It amazed me, and I liked you. From that, I mean, I liked you in general. I liked your energy. But what came first? Let's go back. Queens, the gritty streets of Queens, New York,
Rosedale.
Rosedale, gritty.
Not hardcore. At all.
Yeah.
So maybe since I left, it's become a little more hardcore, but...
Yeah, I'm kidding.
When I was there, it's pretty safe.
Pretty safe neighborhood. What was it like growing up in Queens? And what came first? The magic or the comedy, both? And how did it evolve?
I think magic is how I developed my love for performing. I got my first magic set when I was like 4.
Okay.
It's a funny story how that happened. My dad and uncle were picking up Christmas gifts at a Toys R Us, and they left the trunk open. And some dude backed his car up and shoveled all the toys into his trunk. And my uncle, who was a cop at the time, ran after the guy with his gun out. dude drove off,
right,
with all the Christmas presents.
Oh,
so my
God.
Dad goes back inside Toys R Us and gets me a magic set. Initially, it was a bunch of, like, you know, like little boy gifts: baseball bat, basketball, football, all that shit. And I think that altered the path that my life took.
The guy that robbed,
yeah,
the Christmas toys.
I probably would have been obsessed with basketball.
Who, right? Something. So you got this. So this was the catalyst. What was your first trick?
I don't remember. I think I was just sticking stuff down my pants, and my parents were really supportive. They were like, "Oh, where'd it go?" Because I was four, I couldn't read the instructions in the kits.
It's gone.
Yeah.
It's disappeared down your pants.
They just kept it. They kept me.
Now, is it just you? Are you an only child?
I have a sister. She is 24 now.
Is she in the arts?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Somewhat.
Okay.
A little bit. She's a singer. She's
nice.
Got a lovely singing voice.
All right. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. So you ended up going to the Frank Sinatra School.
Of the Arts.
Of the Arts.
Yes. It was opened by Tony Bennett. It was a cool school. Going there was different because it was like being fully immersed in the arts. It was like the Fame School.
Right,
almost.
That was
but
my school. Yeah.
Yeah, LaGuardia, PPAS.
Yep.
What was it?
Well, I went to the school when it was like Performing Arts High School.
Yeah.
Then it became like, you know, Fiorello LaGuardia School. School of the Arts. When it moved from the mid-40s on the Times Square area to the Upper West Side.
Lincoln Center,
you know, I had nothing to do with it at that time.
They have a lot of famous alumni.
There's a lot of them. My people are working. My friend Danny Burstein's on Broadway.
Dope.
Playing Fiddler on, he's the main dude in Fiddler on the Roof.
You guys had,
he's the main dude in,
like, not Gwen Stefani, Lady Gaga, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, I mean, I guess.
Frank Sinatra, myself and Ricky Velez are the two most successful alumni right now.
Frank Sinatra, the of the Frank Sinatra School.
Yeah, because it was a new school when we went. We were like the third graduating class, fourth graduating class.
And look at what's already come out of there, you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys are working.
Ricky is fucking crushing. I'm trying to crush.
Ricky's on the nightly show.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, with Mike Yard, another friend in comedy,
mm-hmm.
which is great, and they're doing great. So.
Hell yeah.
All right, so let's, so what happens, when do you start doing stand-up in Manhattan or throughout the area? How does that come up? And are you also doing magic at this time for parties and things like that people do?
I started doing kids' parties when I was 10.
10.
Because my parents didn't want to spend a shit ton of money on the Jordans and the sneakers and stuff, and I figured, all right, fuck it, I have this magic ability. Let me start doing birthday parties, making my own money, and I'll buy whatever the fuck I want with it. And my mom and dad were like, yeah, if you make the money, you can spend it.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. And as far as comedy is concerned, I think the first comic, I've talked about this on a couple other podcasts, the first comic I ever saw in life was Greer Barnes.
The first comic?
Ever.
Well, that's a top comic to see.
Yeah, I was like six. I was trying to find some porn on
really,
on
at
Cinemax.
Six?
Yeah, I was a perv.
Good God.
My grandma used to host the passion parties, so I remember, like, looking at...
Wait, the passion parties?
Yeah, the Tupperware parties.
Oh, okay.
She sold dildos to single women.
She did?
Yeah. She did up until, like, a year ago.
Does she have any inventory left?
I can ask her. She's probably got a storage unit somewhere.
Thank God. After
buzzing.
The last debacle. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
It's all right.
Nah, so... Yeah, so I was trying to find naked ladies on Cinemax or HBO, and Def Comedy Jam was on, and I was cracking up because he was doing, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger meets Mike Tyson.
Yes.
And my dad came in the room. He's like, what are you doing out of bed? I was like, that man is funny. Is that a job? And he was like, yeah, but you got to go to college first, which turned out to be bullshit. But
yeah, for comedy.
Yeah, so I started selling comedy tickets when I was 14.
For which clubs?
Stand Up New York.
Okay.
And the Laugh Factory.
Okay, so you're out, you're doing your thing, and you're trying to...
I would get out of high school, come into the city, pick up some tickets, and sell them for shows that I wasn't on.
And you always knew. You always knew this is the direction you want. There was nothing else.
Oh, yeah, I was itching to get on stage.
Okay.
Nobody let me. And I think that's probably for the best. Yeah. Nobody let me until I was about 17 or 18.
Okay, and you're pretty young now.
26.
Okay, so we're talking about 9 years. And
Of hustling.
And when I met you, you were, you know, like I said, just even a few years ago, you were still hustling. But at the time I met you, you were talking about some sort of ghost busting show that you were going to do.
Yeah. 4 years ago, I was already, I mean, I was doing like some road work and, it wasn't enough to make, livable money.
Right.
So I was still selling tickets and, I got cast in, I saw a breakdown on Twitter. They were looking for black comedians that were interested in the paranormal.
On Twitter you saw this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think I saw it in Backstage, and then I stalked the casting director on Twitter and told her I needed an audition. And she hit me back, and she was like, yeah, sure, here's where to send the tape. So I sent the tape in, and they cast me, and originally it was for, like, Spike TV.
Okay.
We shot a pilot. Spike TV didn't like it for whatever reason. So we reshot it for BET, and then BET passed.
Did you have a personal interest in the paranormal yourself, or just, I'll just get cast?
I had a personal interest in getting money. I'm just trying to work. But no, I've always been fascinated by that stuff. You watched all the ghost shows and things like that. It's weird. It's creepy.
It is creepy.
So I said, fuck it, let's go. Let's hunt some ghosts. So we spent the last almost 2 months out in L.A. filming and investigating some creepy shit.
All right, give me an example of something that creepy that you invested. Were you creeped out?
Thoroughly.
All right, let me hear about
it. The show airs in October without, you know, spoiling anything.
Okay, well, this is a new show you're doing.
Yeah, it's the same show. It's Ghost in the Hood.
Okay, Ghost in the Hood.
It's gone through some changes, but to the core, we are still an urban team of ghost hunters. And by urban, I mean black people.
Black people.
Hunting ghosts.
Ordinarily not known for looking for ghosts.
Yeah, we don't fuck with ghosts.
You're just like, nope, we're out.
That's been an exclusively white pastime.
It is. I don't know what that's all about.
Y'all love ghosts.
We do. I will, like, if I hear something, just to digress, if I hear something, I'm like, yeah, you want a piece of this?
No,
ghost?
I leave.
In the house?
I go outside.
You want a piece of my crazy? Let's do this.
You're going to fight the ghost?
I'm like, all right, take me now. I got nothing left. Just let's do it. They just want to mess with me and keep me. All right, so what can you say without giving too much away that happened?
Okay, I went in very skeptic. I was super skeptical about everything.
Okay.
We wrapped, and I can wholeheartedly say that I believe that there is some paranormal shit in the world.
Okay, you can say that. You wholeheartedly believe
wholeheartedly.
That. Wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Fuck the dark. I don't like it.
Did something like probe you?
No. I wasn't
an alien.
I wasn't penetrated by the spirit. I felt a presence touch me.
Okay, so
like on the neck.
And that wasn't a producer.
No.
Okay.
No.
They're not messing
I was in
with
the room
you.
By myself.
You were in a room. Okay.
Yeah, it was I think we were in like a nightclub. And the owners had reported some strange occurrences. Some creepy shit.
Yeah, there's a lot about the unknown. That's unknown.
Yeah, by the nature of the word. Yeah.
I'm messing around.
All that unknown shit.
Because you're a hypnotist, too.
That is actually kind of how I got into comedy.
Okay.
From doing magic, I began hosting a show for a hypnotist, Justin Trans. He had a show in Times Square.
Yes.
And then we moved to...
Just spit his gum out.
Yeah, I had gum the whole time.
The whole time.
Sorry.
Rule number one. He brushed his teeth after he had a sandwich, but no.
Yeah, I had to get fresh.
Fresh. Okay, so continue.
So I'm doing magic. I'm opening this hypnosis show for Justin, and we moved from the theater space we were in to a stage at a comedy club. fast forward a couple weeks, a comic was late for a set. The booker goes, hey, can you do 15? And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. Oh, absolutely, yes. I lied, but I did 15. And
you made that work.
Yeah, that was the beginning of my comedy career.
This is just because a lot of like new comics will listen to this program, I think. You know, when you're thrown up like that, like did you just pull it out of, honestly, I'm just going to say it this way, did you pull it out of your ass, or did you really have 15 minutes worth of material? Or
I had
enough bluffery. That's a new word.
Bluffery?
Bluffery. Yeah. Did you have enough bluffery for that?
I guess from hosting the hypnosis show, I had developed jokes and stuff, but okay. I wouldn't call it a 15-minute set of stand-up.
Right.
I closed out that 15 minutes with magic, and that ate up maybe 7.
Right, so, right. Yeah, sure.
So, I definitely cheated, but it worked.
And, okay. So, does hypnotism and what you know of it, and maybe you could elaborate on that, because I don't know if I buy it.
Okay.
Because do you think, I mean, are people that are skeptical of hypnotism able to be hypnotized, or you have to be in a certain state to be hypnotized?
It doesn't work if you don't want it to. But at the same time, everyone is susceptible to hypnosis. If you weren't, like, that's all hypnosis is. It's suggestion. So if you weren't suggestible, you couldn't learn.
Okay.
Everything that you know has been suggested to you. Why is the sky blue? Because you've been told that blue is the color of, you know, it. That's, I think, the most simple way I can explain it.
All right. So,
like, you're driving and you pass your exit even though you know where to get off. So the road has a hypnotizing effect. So life.
Sure, I can. Yeah. I see what you're saying. So, does it tie in at all? No is a good answer with the ghost busting in any way. Like none of that played a part. There was no suggestion of
nobody hypnotized me to think.
Okay,
no ghost shit was happening.
All right. What happened? Because after we met. You know, there were some dynamics in the clubs, and you were bouncing around club to club a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
When does MTV's joking off happen? How did that evolve for you?
I was doing some shows, and I guess some producers from MTV or a separate production company, they were getting ready to pitch a show to MTV. They saw me or heard about me somehow, and we did a pilot together for a show that didn't go anywhere, and that put me on MTV's radar.
So you've been on their radar ever since, and rightfully so.
Yeah, I mean, it was always like a positive relationship with them. They were always super cool. Like, they would call me in if they had anything that I was a fit for. And, it didn't happen until joking off.
What do you think have been the... You know, you're a young man in stand-up, and what do you think you fall prey to mostly in this environment?
Vagina. It's my kryptonite.
It's every man's kryptonite.
That's what I'm falling prey to.
I mean, I mean, well, actually, I just heard you on the Beige Phillip show. He was talking about.
Yeah, Dante helped coach me through a really bad breakup that he remembered more details of than I did.
He's good like that.
I love that dude, man.
He will set you straight.
Yeah, he was like, "Come on, what are you doing worried about this bitch?" And I was like, "Don't talk about her like that. She's a sweet person."
Right. Well, we tend to, I think, you know. We tend to take people that we like, or we put attributes on them that are not like the fantasy in our mind of what they are versus the reality of who they actually are.
In reality, she was an asshole.
Yeah. And just like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you guys talked about it at length. I'm actually I'm angling, I'll talk to Dante about my personal life later. But he's been on this show. He has a great podcast, the Beige Phillip podcast. It's all about relationships. But I need some work.
I feel you.
You know what I'm saying?
Everybody does. Yeah.
Yeah. It's hard. So you think that, so vagina is
it's great.
Is
I love it.
It's, I've never, you know, other than my own.
Which is great, I'm sure.
You could probably ask a couple of dudes that question. I don't know. I guess it's great. I can't believe we're going there. Well, what do you think? I mean, since you're a young man in stand-up, like, does it take away from your ability to, like, show up for your, you know, it doesn't. Does it just mentally torture you?
No. I guess.
Because you meet women all the time. You meet them after shows.
Yeah. On the way to shows.
And Matt's got a real, you know, charming personality. Man. You do.
Yeah.
What was that other clip I saw? Something. What did I want? What was the name of that? It was another thing that you just did. New Heights. What's that?
New Heights.
New Heights. A clip from New Heights. Some clip that you did.
What
is that?
What the hell?
It was a clip. It was actually you coming, this woman coming out, long straight hair, and you're like talking to her. And you're like, hey, baby, you're talking an accent.
Oh, okay. What was that? Yeah, that was okay, so my friend's web series.
Yeah, that's indicative of who Matt Richards is, by the way.
Yeah, hollering at ladies on the street. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was...
Well, what's the web? He's searching.
It's called New Heights.
It's New Heights, but okay. So, is it airing? Is it airing now?
It's on.
It's on the internet. All right. But that's kind of who you are, a little bit, like a little bit of that guy.
Quirky.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. So, but it doesn't get in the way of your stand up.
I don't let it.
Do women want to be in relationships with you? I mean, you're a young guy, and this is probably not the best time for you to really buckle that. Or do you want
a very,
that?
There's a special lady out there. I call her Mom. no, but...
no, all right.
I don't know. I don't think it would be fair to be in a relationship right now, because I'm moving and shaking, and I'm trying to get things done, and I can't have anybody or... anything distract me from
right
that.
You know, it's interesting when you talk to a man about relationships in general,
like, I want how, one all
right
I love one.
right but it like just the body language is like I
it's
can't
like, hey, so,
even look at it like that. Right, I get it. Yes,
it's yeah, in time. Yeah, but right now I got new management, I got new agents. So everything is,
and you're really fast. You really are on the rise. Even in the last few years, did you, other than Greer Barnes, did you have other influences? I mean, and certainly maybe magic influences. Like, I mean, I'll say David Blaine. Was he one of them?
When I got to meet Blaine, it was probably the best day of my life. I was getting a lecture from an Israeli sculptor, Yaakov Agam.
Okay,
he's pretty dope. His work. And David Blaine walked in the back of the room and he goes, are you Matthew? And I was like, get the fuck out of here. What is happening right now?
He goes,
I have to talk to you in the other room. And I'm like, I'm sweating. My palms are sweating. I was like, how do you know me?
Right.
And he goes, you have a really cool mom. Apparently my mom had reached out to his management and they set it up because he knew Yaakov. And he was like, yeah, I was going to go check out that shit anyway. If your son's there, I'll talk to him. And we've been, like, internet friends at best since. But that it was dope.
That's good. How long ago was that?
He was a real person. I was in high school. That was my senior year of high school.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Scared the shit out of me. Then we ate sandwiches together, which was pretty cool.
He seems so... Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Did you see him in that... water bubble in Lincoln? What was that all about?
I was drowned alive.
Was that what that was called?
He was attempting to break the world record for holding your breath.
Yeah.
He talks about all the crazy shit he did stunt-wise in his book and how it was to, you know, after his mom passed, he was trying to see how far he could push the human body.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. Yeah. I remember going to that. Do you have anything in particular, like on a magic level, that you... want to do similarly or maybe not? I don't know.
There's a few stunt things that I would do. I've always wanted to do a crane suspension where you get out of a straitjacket
Of that whole, like, that's like a Houdini thing,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I've always wanted to do that. A variation of it.
Okay.
Well, nobody's asking me magic-related questions in a while.
I know. So well, because, I mean, you're both. You're both. I mean,
that would be dope. There was a pilot I was working on. I don't know if I can say the name. I guess.
Don't say it. Yeah, you were working on a pilot.
It involved, like, magicians going around and pranking people, and we did some pretty cool shit. That was fun.
You can't talk about levitation, but can you levitate? Or can
I've
you...
given women the sensation of levitation. But
back to vagina.
Yeah, girl.
Wait, did you talk on again? I'm gonna bring it up. Did you talk on Beige Philip about hypnotizing a woman into having an orgasm?
Yeah, I did that a few times.
You did?
Yeah, on stage.
We should probably reenact that. Like some Meg Ryan thing.
We can save it for... Yeah, that happens.
Okay, it does?
That happens.
Do you talk or... Like, do you lull? Is it a lulling thing?
It's my regular voice, and we go through the...
You do it... Wait a minute. You do it on stage? Do it from the stage?
I do it from the stage.
Okay.
Well, it's a stage hypnosis bit, I suppose. Lots of... stage hypnotists do it. It's very technical to get into. I'm trying to think of the ways to word it. But I remember, this is funny, I was with a comic and his girlfriend, and he was like, yo, hypnotizer. This was down at the Laugh Lounge.
When he was like, yo, hypnotizer?
Yeah, in the basement after his show. He's like, yo, hypnotize my girl. It was Jordan Rock.
Oh, okay.
He goes, yo, hypnotize my girl. And I was like, all right. So she went under. And then I did the handshake orgasm thing, and she didn't move. They were new at this point.
Okay,
very new.
Yeah, that's a few years ago.
And I was like, "What? What's the matter?" She's like, "I've never had an orgasm before." So, like, mentally, she didn't know how to tell her body to feel upon.
Really?
Yeah. So I was like, "Hey, you gotta get to work on that." And he was like, "I will."
Okay.
And then they were together for like 3 years. So I guess he figured it out.
Yeah, the hypnotizing worked. You were a facilitator.
Yeah.
It's like a tantric hypnotist. We're keeping you around after the show.
Alrighty.
All right. All right. So you've done in the New York scene and I guess now all over the roast battles.
Yep.
How many of you participated in?
Two.
Who'd you roast battle with?
Matt Pavage.
Matt Pavage is a friend of yours.
One of my best friends. That was a gritty battle.
Because you know a lot about each other.
Yeah. And it was like, we were actually filming Joking Off season 2 right around the time when we had to battle. So both of us were like mentally exhausted and drained because for Joking Off, we have to write like 70 new jokes a day for the media. It's a whole...
Yeah. You might want to describe that whole process a little bit. Just because it's like an improv show, but you're sort of... It's somewhat scripted, right?
I mean, for the most part, it's us making up jokes and, like, memorizing them with very short notice.
Right. I'm going to say, like, my age group... I was trying to figure out what my people were like. What's your demographic? And I'm like, I'm just an older lady trying to stay relevant. I don't know that Gotham Comedy Live is actually live.
When does that come out? Next month?
It's like Gotham Comedy Live. You know, really? But because I am not watching the... I mean, let me tell you something. I was there for the onset of MTV. You know what I mean? Video killed the radio star. Okay, for the four women that are listening to this that remember that. But the kids are watching it.
The youth.
The youth of today is watching Joking Off.
Yeah.
All right. So for my generation that may be listening, what is it?
It's basically, we've all seen people post inappropriate shit on social media.
Right.
So it's basically we roast photos from the internet.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, for example, like you see a Jay-Z Beyonce kind of thing on the internet.
Yeah, and we just
and you write like tons of jokes about that particular thing.
And we get points based on the audience's laughter.
You had a tie recently.
Who?
You did. You tied.
Wait, who?
Jesus Christ.
Who did I tie?
He tied. That's the one thing I did look up. There was like in the history. Listen, in the history of the show that I don't watch. Okay.
And everybody tied.
But, wait, what do you mean everybody tied? It said that everyone tied. The whole group of people tied.
Yeah, each episode is like three teams of two.
Okay, so everybody tied.
That was one day we were just all
fucking great,
hilarious.
Everybody tied.
Yeah.
Who votes?
The audience.
The audience.
I don't even know how that shit works.
Oh, it's my God.
The audience and the producers, they keep score.
Okay.
But yeah, I battled Pavich and won that one. And then I was like, I'm never roast battling again. Rel Battle, who created the show out in L.A.
Yes.
It's at the Comedy Store. He said, hey, I'm bringing the show to New York. I want you to host it. And I was like, fuck it. Awesome. So
okay.
I started hosting it. And Rel said that the reigning champion of L.A., Keith Carey, was going to be in town to do like an all-star roast battle thing. And Keith's record was like 8-0.
Right.
And he came to New York and got spanked.
Oh, did he now?
Yeah.
All right.
It was close, though. He made me dig deep.
I did watch a few of those clips that are available on YouTube to watch you do that, and you did zing them.
I tried.
you definitely did. Do you in your stand up now? I mean, you know, you talk about dating and you know, you do a number of accents and impressions. Mm-hmm. And were you, when you were in school at Frank Sinatra High, were those things that they worked on with you, or that's something that also came naturally to you?
I think it came from Queens, just growing up in such a diverse place,
right?
And hearing all these different people talk, people that I respected and, you know, interacted with on a daily, the guy at the store, everybody,
right?
It just sort of crept its way into how I had fun.
Right. It's funny, you and I, because even like when we see each other at the clubs, like
we do random voices.
We do like all of a sudden we're just talking
for
like
no reason. For no reason.
So, well, hello, look who's here.
Know.
It's mad.
Like the Indian accent. I can't shake those. I don't know.
What, the Indian accent?
Yeah, we've done.
What do you do it to?
Come on.
I don't even know what that. I don't even.
No, don't be don't, crazy.
You know, I didn't know there was a two. I don't even know what that is. My Jamaican accent, because you talk about Jamaican accents. And that whole. But whenever I do like a Jamaican. Well, do yours, because if you do your Jamaican
if I do my Jamaican accent,
you do
you're going to come out with yours.
Yeah, if you do your Jamaican accent, then all of a sudden mine turns into an Irish woman.
Yeah,
I don't know
a
why
bit.
It does. No, it's like if you do every single time. It's like if you do it. Wait, now wait. But you do the when you do it, speak as fast as most Jamaicans speak to each other, because that is insane to me. Like you do this thing. Well, yeah, just do that thing. You talk about how like one Jamaican dude is talking to another.
Haven't done that joke in so long.
Because
it got me in trouble with Jamaican people.
What? Jamaicans can't take a joke?
Apparently not.
Yes, they can.
No.
You just can't say the blood thing.
The blump.
Don't even say it. I didn't know how bad that was.
Yeah.
That is the worst thing you could say. Meanwhile, some of what you know. Wait, I'm just going to bring this up for a second. I'm on the train one day, Manhattan,
mm-hmm.
Okay? And there's this guy, and he's doing the Jamaican, like, the worst thing you could say. I won't say what it is.
Blood clot.
No, don't say that. He's saying it, but he's just saying it left and right. Everything is I don't want to even say it. I did blood clot.
I'm not offended. I'm not Jamaican.
Right, but it's just, and it's horrible. Like, I know, but he's just going on and on and on and on and on about it. But, Yeah, why? I don't even.
It means a bunch of different
things. It's a horrible
thing. Yeah. Well, I had that video, actually, of that joke is on YouTube, and it's got like close to 500,000 views, but all the comments are from angry Jamaican people telling me that they don't talk like that, that I should go and suck my mother's pussy. Graphic, evil thing.
Are they from Brooklyn? Because apparently that's a Brooklyn thing.
I don't know.
Whatever, to your mother.
Yeah, yeah. It's bad. I don't think I can ever go on vacation to Jamaica now.
Yes, you can.
No. The whole island, the whole country.
No, Matt. I think you're going to be okay.
All right. If I get fucked because up in Jamaica because somebody remembers
you can't
YouTube
understand
video.
Him. What? I could see how the Irish. You can't even understand the Jamaican people. No, I
the
love the Jamaican. I've been to Jamaica 3 times. I love it there.
I'll go with you and I'll be safe.
You'll be safe. But you won't be safe from the hair braiding.
They're going to see me like, yo, that's the rude boy comedian, man. Them.
Yeah, it's a good accent. I love everything Jamaican. I've been there 3 times.
I love their weed is great.
I like
and the food is fantastic.
Of course it is.
Also weed.
I love people.
People are great. Sometimes.
Aren't they? Sometimes.
Every now and then.
Is anything troubling you? Wait, I'm sorry. Isn't that hilarious? When you look at someone, anything troubling you? What's going on in your young comedy life? Is there anything?
Just—it's
a struggle, real.
I mean, honestly, life is getting exponentially dope,
right?
As of late, like a lot of this shit is happening really fast, and I'm trying to keep up and process the things.
So what's happening? Okay, so you've got the show. You've got this.
I auditioned for SNL.
When was that?
That was a month ago.
Okay,
out in LA, while I was filming the Ghost Show. Well, no, 2 months ago now, because we just wrapped Joking Off. So I was doing the Ghost Show. We filmed season 1. I came right back to New York to do season 3 of Joking Off. And while I was out there, we had the SNL auditions, and that was...
And your new management put this together?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I didn't get SNL out of it, but it started kind of like a bidding war with some agencies. And that was cool. So I got some representation out of it.
That's good. Did you bring characters to your audition?
I had to.
Yes.
I did.
They like that.
I had to do. Yeah, that's.
That's what they want.
The whole basis
that's
of the
whole
show.
Thing. Exactly. Well, yes.
So I did. I did like every accent I could think to do damn near. But I had to write little 30-second monologues for each character and fit it into 5 minutes. That was awesome.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good. All right, so you've got that, and then Just for Laughs, you just auditioned for that.
Yeah, I had the call back last week.
So these are you're really moving through. You're really moving through this.
Trying,
you know,
trying to.
Did you feel at any point? Did you ever feel at any point it wasn't going to snap?
All the time, there were nights where it would be raining when I'm standing on a street corner trying to get people to come to a comedy show. That I was like, why the fuck am I doing this? I'm a classically trained actor. I don't know why I'm working this comedy thing so hard when I can easily start auditioning for plays again and you know, do theater, which is what my background is.
Right. See, that's what we share that in common, mm-hmm. You know, because that's I'm more trained for theater and acting than stand up, but I love the stand up. I mean, it just gets all the demons out.
Exactly. And it's, in a sense, like with stand-up, you're the writer, director, and the talent.
You're the whole kit and caboodle.
Exactly.
Yeah. And do you like that? You like being in control of it? Like with magic, you'd like to, you know, design your own.
Well, when you're a magician, unless you're like a magic creator of you know, the illusions and the effects. You're basically doing shit that other people invented and putting your own twist on it. But with comedy, you know, I'm writing my own. We write our own stuff. We perform our own stuff. We edit it.
Yeah.
So there's so much control. And I think that's another thing I love about it is I get to be in charge.
we were talking earlier about, you know, staying in charge. But, like, you know, for me to stay somewhat in control, I stopped drinking some years back. That's I often talk about this, and I talk about, you know, alcohol and drugs in relation to anyone that works in the performing arts. And did you ever think at any point, while, you know, because I know a lot of comics use, I'm not saying you do, but was at any point, do you feel like, you know, hey, I've been in partying a little too hard. I got to scale back. You know, my mind's not right. That kind
That's
of thing.
That's like every 3 weeks. I'm like, I should take a little break. I don't know, where am I in Brooklyn and who is this girl?
Right.
Ah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why does she look like Arnold?
I don't, yeah. Yeah. So that's good. I mean, you have the self-awareness.
Yeah, I take random sobriety vacations. You know, yeah. not super often, but like whenever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got the self-discipline to be aware of that.
I'll drink at night, and I'll still wake up to go and do all the shit I have to do in the morning. Unaffected.
Yeah. Good. I hope it stays that way.
As do I.
Yeah. Like, as yes, I hope it stays that way, Matt Richards.
Yes.
So I've got my eye on you.
Oh shit.
What? I've always had my eye on you.
Thank you.
You know, I really no. It's like, you know, you're like I said, that you're like one of those people. Seriously.
You throwing me those guest spots really like there were nights where I was like, fucking,
you know,
down.
Yeah, you were down.
And I was like, hey, you think I can maybe get on stage for a little bit? You're like, yeah, sure.
Well, go ahead.
I always love that about you. If you ever had time on a show, you would always throw me some time.
Here's the thing about comedy and like, I think the people that want to do this, like, I think we're a special breed.
Yeah.
I really do. Whatever that need and drive is, not all of us are that great at it. Mm-hmm. True, there's a lot of people that just aren't good at it, you know? Yeah. But people do have the capacity to learn and grow no matter what level that they're at.
Absolutely.
But you out of the gate to me, like, I'm so delighted for, you know, your successes.
Thank
you know,
you.
I really am. So I'm thrilled, and hopefully there's much more to come. And I know you perform quite often now. I know you were at like Greenwich when we first met, and now you're at New York a lot.
Yeah.
Do you produce your own show down there as well?
Matt Pavich and I actually have a show called Matt and Matt's Laundromat.
Matt and Matt's Laundromat?
Yeah, we were trying to get it in a laundromat, but we couldn't find one that had a liquor license. So we just did it, because it rhymes with our names.
Yes, it does, Matt and Matt's Laundromat.
Yeah. But I'm at New York Comedy Club all the time. The Roast Battle is there every 2 weeks.
Yes.
On Thursdays at 10 o'clock. That is always a fun show. The next one is June 26th.
Good. Okay. And what else did I want to talk
about?
This
Thursday.
So this Thursday.
Sick-ass lineup.
So, yeah, this will air. We will air on WROM Radio tomorrow night. So, for the folks listening, we're taping on a Monday night. And then the show will air Tuesday night. If you're in Manhattan, New York City, obviously. New York Comedy Club. The show is what time again?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock on a Thursday night. And are you performing, like, outside? Like, you have any headlining gigs coming up?
Yeah,
where are you going to be?
I am at...
He's going to look through his calendar.
It's the House of Comedy in Phoenix, Arizona, from June 29th to July 3rd. Come to that.
Okay.
That will be fun.
The
House
of Comedy in Phoenix.
Yep.
We only have a few minutes. I want to talk to you. When you came in today, you know, you do a lot of, you do a lot of exercise-y, outdoorsy
just because
stuff.
I'm trying to get healthy.
Okay.
Not because I like it.
No.
I like it a little bit. Like, paintballing is fucking awesome.
All right. You've been doing that for how long, the paintballing?
The last 2.5 years, maybe, with friends. We go out and we shoot each other in the woods.
Didn't you just tell me you got shot by a 9-year-old?
I did get shot by a 9-year-old. She wasn't part of the group of friends. This is the largest.
Yeah, she's some little cunt that just shot you in the fucking...
Fuck that bitch, yo.
Fuck that fucking 9-year-old.
Ah, I hope she fails and becomes a stripper when she grows up.
She will, trust me.
Absolutely.
Like 9 out of 10 of us do.
So, no, it's like a huge paintball facility. So there's like families there and other groups of friends. And okay. We're playing like 50 on 50. And the 9-year-old that shot me was on the other team.
Little blonde girl?
No, a little black chick.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
I hated her and her dad.
Black on black crime.
Tell me about it.
That's so ridiculous.
Hands up, don't paintball.
Don't pay. She shot you in the ear, right?
Shot me in the side of my mask. Side,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so
my
long.
Ear was ringing for a little while. And then like some of the paint went through the air holes in the mask and like hit my elbow.
Did you tell me you also did a 10K? You were not even, what is that? 10K is like, what,
6.2 miles.
Six, yeah. I know that. With I don't know Gotham Comedy Club is live, but I do know that is freaking 6 miles. Yeah. So
I think I might have had a drink or two. And
You ran.
No, buzzed? No. Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No. I think I did have a little bit of weed, but that was just so I could mentally deal with it. It's probably the stupidest thing.
How long
thing
did
I've
it
ever...
take? Because it takes, wait, to me, it takes for me to just run a mile and a half takes, I mean, because I'm so slow, it takes about like 15 minutes.
Okay. I think I was maybe at
6 miles.
Up until mile 3, I had a great stride until mile 3, and then my body was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
Why? And I think I was like doing like a little old lady jog, and I saw a store, and I was like, I'm going to go in there. I go in the store to get some Gatorade and coconut water and shit.
Wait, this was the kind of running during that you could 10K. Just...
Yeah, I was just like, yeah, fuck the race. I'll be back. I'll Uber to the finish line. I go in, and the guy's like, aren't you doing the 10K? I was like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Where's the coconut water? Yeah, I didn't train for that shit at all.
Now, was this a dare?
No, it was...
Because I'm trying to figure out why.
It was a producer up at MTV. Her husband...
I got you.
He was like, I'm not... For whatever reason, he backed out of doing the 10K. She was like, I have an extra, you know, bib thing. And I was like, yeah, fuck it. I'll do it. I think this was at a rap party for the show.
Nice.
So I was like, yeah, I love 10Ks.
Yeah. Yes. I'm the 10K master.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, fuck, I have to do this because now I don't want to look bad if I bail.
So you did it, and you survived.
Yeah, it took me an hour and 44 minutes.
Yeah, no, that's how long it's going to take. Yeah.
No, everybody else finished in like 45 minutes. I was like, what the fuck? How did you guys have skateboards?
That's hilarious.
I did learn a lot about the world of racing and running. I started in like the middle of the group. There were maybe 2,000 people out. Started in the middle of the group, and I noticed that all the women had very, very tight asses, just nice butts. And I was like, this is going to be great motivation. I'm running alongside them. I'm going to know that this zone is good.
It's a good butt zone.
As I started getting tired and the nice asses had left in the distance, I found myself surrounded by like just larger, scared, not as tight asses. And I was like, okay, now this is... By the end of it, it was me and an old Indian dude. Just no asses behind us or in front of us.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, big loser asses.
big loser asses. Big loser ass and his.
Big loser asses. You know, speaking of big loser, we'll end on this. So that show, The Big Loser, it's in the paper right now.
I don't know what happened.
Well, apparently the producers, people on the show, I don't know exactly, but they were like giving the people like ephedrine and things to try to lose weight and
for TV,
and it was like really forcing them, and it's a whole thing that's coming to light now. So that's really unfortunate. And you know, this stuff, like, look, we work in this business, but a lot of this stuff that's on TV is wholeheartedly manufactured for entertainment, and the people that are involved sometimes really get the short end of the stick to be, you know, this is the putting it mildly. You know, I worked on shows and I know how people were manipulated. And once everybody makes their millions, you're left to
Fend for yourself.
Fend for yourself. Yeah. So you got to take care of yourself no matter what you do. So to that end, are you going to run in a marathon?
I think I want to.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
That's my baby voice, Kevin. You're going to take care of yourself, Matt Richards.
I got to get healthier.
Yeah, so do I, mentally.
Yeah, we all do.
We all do. All right, we got to wrap it up. Again, you can find Matt, where can they? Well, you're on Twitter and Facebook. What are your handles on those things?
The letter I, Matt with two T's. I, Matt Richards on everything. Snapchat, Instagram,
yeah,
Twitter.
You like the Snapchat?
I'm getting the hang of it. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't get it either. And I like the dog ears a lot.
Yeah, that seems
my
to
favorite.
Be what
yeah.
the ladies love is looking like a puppy.
Puppy or a kitty.
Or the flower
yeah.
bandana thing.
Yeah, I'm not fond of that one. I do like the makeup one. Anyway, on that note, thanks for listening.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm really glad you're here. I know a lot more is in store for you guys. Keep your eyes out for I, Matt Richards, everywhere. you've been listening to the Red Light Podcast Redux on WROM Radio, also iTunes. Thanks to our subscribers. Please subscribe. Follow us on Twitter at Red Light NYC. I'm Gina Savage. You can find me at Savage in the City. Pics on Instagram, Savage in the City on Twitter. And we want to thank you. And also on Sound, Jim Vern. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week.